Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost. And so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found.
Oh, yeah. We started to burn too many things we found. That's the glorious Dar Williams singing with Pete Seeger and David Burns, the Solartopia song, our theme. I've been reading Dar Williams' book lately, What I Learned in a Thousand Towns. She's a really fabulous human being, Dar Williams. I got the book at Barnes & Noble, and she writes about going to all these different cities and towns as she tours with her beautiful voice, and she's got a great sense of community and community organizing. I do want to have her on the show at some point, Dar Williams. She's a really brilliant woman, very dedicated. The name of her book, again, is What I Learned in a Thousand Towns. So this is Harvey Sluggo Wasserman. I'm adding the name Sluggo to me, to my moniker now, because the name Harvey has been really decimated. I was not responsible for the hurricane. I was not responsible for this creep Weinstein. I was, during my many years at my hippie farm in Massachusetts, known as Sluggo, S-L-U-G-G-O, partly because somebody thought I looked like the comic strip character. And I did play baseball, and I find that the older I get, the better I was. So if you and I meet on the street, you can call me Sluggo. That's S-L-U-G-G-O. I am still retaining the old Harvey Wasserman slave name, because I've been using it as a writing tool for 50, 60 years. What can I tell you? Things die hard. I will tell you that when I was born, my mother made my father promise not to name me Harvey, and he did anyway. So there you go. I got two, maybe three great guests on the show today. We're joined by our buddy Joel Siegel, who has been with us before to talk about Puerto Rico, and that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, I am sitting outside, and when I start to talk about Puerto Rico, I just want to take my phone and throw it across the yard. What can I tell you? It's so infuriating. Joel, you are in North Carolina with us, are you?
Good to hear your voice, Sluggo. Yes, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. Moved here from Washington, D.C. Was there for about 23 years, and I worked for John Conyers for many years, Tarshlin John Conyers.
And what are you doing now? Give us a thumbnail sketch. I don't like to give my bios of my guests because who knows? I want you to be identified the way you want to be identified. So tell us what you're up to.
I'm the executive director of the North Carolina Climate Solutions Coalition. It's about 20 organizations. We want to get North Carolina to go to 100% renewable energy and create, you know, thousands of green jobs. And I'm the national director of the Justice Action Mobilization Network. That's the national network that works on climate action. And I'm also a professional bass player, which is what I really like doing, playing music.
I thought you were going to say baseball player. Very good, Joel. Do we have Jay with us?
Yes.
All right, buddy. Well, you have not been on my show, but I understand you are a host at KP. What's the station you host at?
WPFW in Washington, D.C., which is a part of the Pacifica Network.
So, you know, I have a show on KPFK in Los Angeles, which is also part of the Pacifica Network. So what is your show about, and what is your day job?
My show is titled The American Indian's Truce, the most dangerous show on radio. We discuss the issues of Native America past and present, and And we do it without compromise.
I've been on
WTFW now for 17 years.
Wow, good for you, man. Good for you. And of course, Pacifica, the term not compromise is an assumption, an assumed part of the identity of the Pacifica Network. Do we have Anna on with us? We were to be joined by Anna. Are you there? I guess not yet. So if Anna comes in.
I'm on here. Can you hear me?
Fantastic. Yes, and I can hear you. You're like a voice in the wilderness. It's great. Anna, tell us who and where you are as we gear up here to get into this discussion of travesty is too weak a word to describe what's been done to Puerto Rico. So, but Anna, before we jump in, because it's going to be really passionate, tell us who you are and where you are.
Okay, well, I'm currently on the road. I am taking precaution as I drive, so if I lose you, I'm in the back roads. I'm headed to an event. But I am the Latino liaison for the North Carolina NAACP. I am also the tri-leader coordinator for the Poor People's Campaign, which is the last campaign that Martin Luther was working on before he was assassinated.
Wow, that's right. He was in Memphis in support of the garbage workers' strike there, and they were about to have the Poor People's Campaign in D.C., which I actually went to. It was really sad, really difficult. Okay, and Jay, are you still with us?
Jay's gone.
Okay, well, they'll call in. Just announce them when they call back, if you would, please. So let's start in on Puerto Rico. Joel, we have been getting astonishing reports of the horror. Okay, great. Anna, you're back with us?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, and Jay will call in. This will be a fun show, but well, it's not going to be fun actually. Anna, actually, I was about to talk to Joel about Puerto Rico, but you have a relative in Puerto Rico, is that right?
I do. I have my mom, who is a very strong, empowered Latina woman who raised three girls as an inner-city missionary in Chicago, who is living currently in Puerto Rico and is living in the center of the island where I came through when Puerto Rico got slammed by Maria.
All right, so tell us, if you would, I know that you're in touch with her. Can you give us just a sketch? Or a portrait. I mean, we got a full hour, and there's nothing more important than what you're about to tell us. So can you tell us, based on your mother's reports, what is going on down there?
Well, when Hurricane Maria first hit, first of all, I was not even able to communicate for her until 9 days after the hurricane.
Oh, my God.
And 3 weeks into the hurricane, I get the first call. And it was really, really bad reception. And all I heard was, "Your mom is safe," and that was it. And it wasn't.
So you didn't know for all that time whether your mother was alive or dead.
No, I did not. But and then about a week after that first phone call, I finally was able to hear her voice. There was devastation everywhere. And this is 3 weeks after the hurricane hit, and nothing had reached the people on the center of the island. And because my mom is a Christian woman, has been most of her life, she believes in always being prepared, and she's vegetarian. She's always prepared to store food. And she was feeding the people on the center of the island with the food that she has stored, and there were days that she was feeding over 150 people, and then the Seventh-day Adventist Church that she belongs to finally was able to get to where they were able to get the food, and they have been feeding over 200 people on their own, my mom and the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Wow. And did she have any help at all from the American government?
No, not within those 3 to 4 about three or four weeks they didn't have anything, and when something did show up, they showed up with two bottles, 16 ounces of water per person was what they were given.
Oh, God. Was there any help with shelter or power from the American government?
No. There's no help when it comes. There's no help when it comes to that. They were given some tarps, and one of her neighbors got a tarp to be able to cover their roof. Shelter is not available. The biggest thing right now in the island is there's still a majority of the island is still without electricity. And they finally, as of now, the school finally got some electricity. The children are only going to school half days. So they only have been in school only for a week, going to school a half day. And they finally are able to get some food to the people. The people have had, for all those weeks, they had to find water on their own. And they were drinking from the creek.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, and I assume now I have heard, and maybe you can confirm, that many, many, many people in Puerto Rico have gotten sick from drinking the creek water.
Absolutely. And weeks into this, people didn't even care about food because they were desperate to water, for getting some water. And so my biggest concern was ensuring that getting the message out that everybody boiled the water. And, of course, you know, they had to go back to the old style of sort of like camping outside, because really what was taking a lot of people out is contracting bacteria from the water.
And this is still going on.
And well, now it's better. It is better. Whereas now they have more water that is coming in. But my biggest concern, again, was electricity and water, and to make Puerto Rico a sustainable island. So, you know, us in North Carolina, we love us some Joe Siegel now. When you talk about environment, we see Joe Siegel. And so my
Thank
first
you.
Effort was, hey, Joe, I mean, we got to do something. We can't allow this to happen. We're talking about not just the fact that they're citizens, but the fact that, you know what, they pay into taxes. And what's happening is inhumane and uncivilized.
And I can't resist doing this. I mean, Puerto Rico became part of the United States after, in 1898, there was a rebellion in Cuba against the Spanish Empire. And
right.
the Americans sent down a ship, the Maine, and to Havana Harbor. It was sitting in Havana Harbor, and it blew up. And the United States, the yellow press, the Hearst press, went absolutely crazy, blamed Spain, which denied it, and went to war with Spain, and so-called helped the Cubans overthrow the Spanish government, and didn't leave, did the same in Puerto Rico, and didn't leave. And, of course, we have since found out that it's 100% certain that the Spaniards did not sink the Maine, that it actually blew up from probably a coal gas explosion, which was pretty common in those days. But the U.S. Navy found the Maine in Havana Harbor. It wasn't that hard. And they inspected it and found out it blew up from the inside. So the Spaniards did not sink the Maine. But the United States kept Puerto Rico as part of the American Empire, and the Puerto Rican, and been subjected to American rule since 1898. Comes this hurricane, and Donald Trump, the first thing he says about aid to Puerto Rico is, well, they owe us a lot of money. God, I mean, geez. And then he goes down there, and was your mother one of the lucky ones who got a roll of paper towels from Donald Trump? was she in the crowd when he started flinging paper towels at the Puerto Rican people? I guess that we can't even respond to that. Anna, are you still with us? Okay, she may have lost it. So, Jay, have you come back? Okay, so it's you and me, Joel. So, Joel, now you have worked with these people and are dealing with Puerto Rico. Tell us, you know, and what's happening.
Well, first of all, it's great to be on your show, and you are the funniest and most serious talk show host. I've been on radio for 30 years, but you are the funniest and the most informative and quizzical.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
No, well, it's you know, as you know, it's a Category 4 and 5 hurricane that hit the island twice, and I'll just give just a few facts. There's about 2,000 who are in homeless shelters. Most of them are in the public schools, so they can't go to public schools, a lot of the kids. The majority of the small businesses, about 80%, have been wiped out. A lot of the manufacturing and schools and businesses, they can't run because they don't have electricity. So about 50% of the power grid's been knocked out. They still don't have clean water. Tens of thousands are being evacuated to the United States. There's a possibility that they might lose, three-fourths of their population. So the governor of Puerto Rico just testified in front of Congress, and he asked for $90 billion to $100 billion and to rebuild the electric grid and agriculture and their health care system, all which has been destroyed. And this was the response from Representative Jody Heiss, Republican of Georgia. I'm looking at this $90 billion to $100 billion. A colony on Mars is the same amount.
And then, oh, God.
Yeah, it's really an idiot. And then Representative Garrett Graves, a Republican of Louisiana, asked why Congress should pay so much for Puerto Rico when Puerto Ricans are exempt from most federal income taxes. So what you're really seeing is that there's going to be a mass evacuation of Puerto Rico because they don't have health care, they don't have schools. Unemployment now is rampant. Especially with the, a lot of them, they manufacture like IV bags, and they have now a shortage of IV bags. So the whole island really has been destroyed. So they're asking for money to be rebuilt. And I've been working on this now for several weeks. So I went ahead and called colleagues of mine that I work with in Congress about creating a UN Global Fund for Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. Virgin Islands only has about, I think, 30% of their electricity on. They're really in as bad a shape in Puerto Rico. And I'll just leave you one last thing. There's tarps that they need to cover the houses, so when it rains, the water won't come in. The Army Corps of Engineers can't even, they can't put them on correctly, so it's still raining in the houses. And then they still don't have, thousands of houses don't have tarps. So to me, what makes sense is just the Trump administration and the Republicans in Congress, feel like that, they're not very important, these American citizens, and it's like a colony on Mars. Then, then what we have to do is go to the European Union and other countries and establish a global fund. I'm working with the Princess of Ghana, who's very close to Kofi Annan. I've been in conversations with some very important senior military officials and people who work at the UN to establish a UN global fund on disaster relief due to, climate change. And I'll end by saying scientists have predicted this for years and years and years about, stronger hurricanes, and look what happened. As you said, Hiroshima is what Southern California looked like. This is our fault. And if the wealthy nations really have destroyed the poor nations because they burn gas and coal, then we have a duty to rebuild these, islands back and develop countries back. And so we set up a global fund and have the rich nations maybe pay 1% of their gross domestic product. I am going to Congress in 2 weeks. We're going to start our hearings in Congress. They'll be done by the Democrats, since the Republicans really aren't worth a you know what, I can't curse on your show, a darn. And then I used to organize these hearings in Congress all the time, and we're going to bring in the Puerto Rican experts and activists and get more media attention. But I still cannot believe, like you said, I can't believe what I'm seeing. The Virgin Islands,
Puerto Rico, our territories, and we have a president that throws paper towels at people. And this is really, it's inexcusable, it's immoral, it's a travesty, but it shows you, you know, how we've gotten so cold-hearted. But I think we have to go to the international community now and do it in an emergency fashion. You know, the Swedes have trackers, and the Europeans have tarps, so let's just go to the international community. What choice do we have?
It's just absolutely astonishing. Anna, did you come back? Jay, either one of you guys are with us? I guess not. So it's you and me, Joel. Well,
okay, man.
we'll be fine. So what you're saying then is that Puerto Rico, what was the date of the hurricane? Do you remember?
I cannot let's see. Yeah, I think that's correct.
What was it?
I'd have to go back in my notes. I'm not sure.
Okay, so
exact date,
at any rate, it's been many, many weeks. The people of Puerto Rico are just absolutely devastated. And our government's doing nothing. Is that right?
In terms of what they could do is the issue, because in the report submitted to Congress, the governor, Rosello, this is what they want, $15 billion for health care. They need $8.4 billion for schools, and they need $17.7 billion. That's just for the power grid. It destroyed or damaged the hurricane, 472,000 homes, and knocked out the island's electricity. And then you've got there's $70 billion in debt. So you're already in debt before because of the way they've been treated as a colony. And now really where people are at is it's so they don't die of hunger, or they can't find jobs, or the kids can't go to school. That, you know, there's the governor said there's the possibility that the majority of the people of the island are going to have to be either go to Los Angeles or New York. That's what they're looking at. And but there is, you know, reports of hepatitis diseases, because they're actually drinking water from the Superfund water. And the issue is, could we do more? The answer is yes. The Army Corps of Engineers, FEMA, there's a lot of money that they're withholding, and it's called the Stratford Act. And legally, our president could let loose, literally billions of dollars and more funding, and he's not doing it. And there's no reason for this. And Michael Moore, the great filmmaker, came out with a plan. He was like, let's let the Army Corps of Engineers and the Army and the Navy and the military, let's do a full-scale rebuilding of Puerto Rico. And, you know, I'm also working with solar experts about creating what are called microgrids to solarize the grid, because you could build the grid back faster. That's really the biggest problem is electricity. And I, as I said last time, I don't know if it was your show or the Night Wolf show, if we could rebuild Fallujah, you know, all these cities and towns we've destroyed in Iraq and Afghanistan, and rebuilt them back pretty fast. I mean, Donald Trump knows how to build, right? He built luxury apartment buildings and casinos. And why can't they rebuild Puerto Rico? Because he doesn't care. And the Republicans don't care because they're brown people and they're black people. And these are heartless people. The Republicans are showing how heartless they are. It also shows why we need a new Congress and a new White House. And, you know, we're going to have to go to the international community and do what we did with Global AIDS. When I worked in Congress, we weren't responding, we being the United States, for AIDS in Africa. And millions were going to die in Africa and the Caribbean. I brought in Bono from U2. And then we went to the United Nations and we created a global fund for TB and malaria and HIV AIDS. We saved, so far, I think 15 million lives. And then finally we got PEPFAR after we pressured Bush. So I'm kind of using the same strategy that I used before, but I'm lucky this time around I don't have to find Bono. I don't have to, you know, I already know how to get to a lot of the dignitaries. And the Princess of Ghana is one of the most brilliant activists that I've ever met. But what choice do we have? I mean, if we're not going to help, don't we have to go to, what about the, you know, there's China, there's Japan, there's the Gulf, there's Saudi Arabia. I mean, I hate to, you know, get money from a lot of these different countries, but, you know, what other choice do we have but to set up a global fund?
Well, it's a good point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I just want to make one other point. Go ahead, Harvey. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Go ahead. No, no, go.
Well, I mean, look, Michael Mann, the greatest, I think, of the climate scientists, says we have 3 years to begin the transition to renewable energy. I mean, this is solartopia. This is what you're about. If we only have 3 years, we're looking at the possibility, if we don't get off of fossil fuels, we could have Category 6 and 7 hurricanes. And that means, if you have a Category 5, that means the hurricane is 500 times powerful than a Category 1. Then you're going to have to rebuild the island again. So we got to get off of fossil fuels now. We have to get to zero emissions now. I mean, it's supposed to be 80% by 2030, according to Mark Jacobson, but we're living in denial. You know, where I live in Charlotte is Duke Power. Duke Power is the largest utility in the country, and we're about to take them on. And we introduced a resolution in our city council in Charlotte just calling for 100% renewable energy by 2050, and it split 2-2 in the environmental subcommittee. Because now they have to do a full vote. But people are living in denial. This is going to get much worse. The United Nations is reporting that millions could starve in Africa very soon, in southern Africa, because of drought. And we might as well have a global fund now so we can prepare for what's about to happen, not just in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, but, you know, in other countries. They're going to be devastated also, whether it's drought, whether it's flooding. But we're not prepared, you know, to do this. And we're going to have to get this fund going and get off of fossil fuels, and we're going to need a citizens movement to do both.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's just a nightmare. In the studio there, I sent you the numbers for Jay Nightwolf and Anna Blackburn. If you've got time to give them a call, that'd be great. If they call back in. I know Anna's traveling, and I don't know what happened to Jay Nightwolf. But the disaster at in Puerto Rico may have a subtext, and I want to run this by you, Jay. This is, I mean, Joel, this is one of the conspiracy theories that may have some legs, unfortunately. A lot of people think that the ulterior motive, or an ulterior motive, aside from the fact that these are people are just beyond description in terms of their unwillingness to help the people of Puerto Rico, who are, after all, American citizens, is that what they want people to leave Puerto Rico so that the rich people can go in and buy up the place and turn it into a giant prostitution and casino center, like Cuba was before the revolution. Have you heard that conspiracy theory?
I have. I mean, I actually experienced this when I worked on Hurricane Katrina. In the lower Ninth Ward, the politicians and the white power structure and at the time in New Orleans trying to make sure the people in the lower Ninth Ward would not come back because they wanted to do gentrification and put up high-rise condos. And I have heard that theory. And there's a second theory that I'd like to promulgate, and that is if the Republicans want a $1.5 trillion tax cut that's going to go to billionaires and millionaires, and then, you know, when you work in Congress, you know, you have to work in specific budgets because you can't blow a big hole in the deficit, even though this will. If you're trying, if they're requesting $90 billion or $100 billion, Congress, they know that's just the big tip of the iceberg, right? $90 to $100 billion, that's what they're asking for now. What about resiliency? What about rebuilding businesses and homes and hospitals and schools and increasing food stamps? So is there a possibility that maybe they wouldn't be able to get the tax cut to their billionaire and billionaire donor? I think the answer is yes. I really think that that's another reason why they're not doing this, because why do they want to get 23 million people off of the Affordable Care Act? Because they want to give a tax cut, according to Paul Krugman, the New York Times, you know, to their richest donors. And I really believe that this has to have something to do with this cold-heartedness, this callousness, that this is so much worse than Hurricane Katrina, man. I wrote the Katrina Relief Act, okay? I had to write it because no one else was going to write it. And I told you I went to Pelosi's office and we lobbied, and, you know, we and the people in Louisiana, and we had activism and we got it passed. But, you know, the other problem is we're the Democrats. We're you know, I love Nancy Pelosi. Where's Pelosi and Schumer? And where's the Congressional Black Caucus? And where's the Hispanic Caucus? Where's Bernie Sanders? You know, he's doing what he can, but where are the celebrities? Where are the activists? You know, where are the athletes? Why are we raising, more media visibility? How come Oprah Winfrey hasn't gone down there? But it is amazing the lack of the civil society response. You know, to me, it's almost commensurate with Trump and the Republican response. There has been Puerto Rican groups on the ground and Hispanic groups on the ground here in America that apparently have lots of shipments in Puerto Rico that are sitting there, you know, cargo literally in the docks that aren't, you know, being let out by the government. But I think the other problem is lack of news coverage. Where is, instead of MSNBC, and I'm very, I do a lot of work with MSNBC, where are the film crews from CNN, MSNBC? Why aren't they down there? ABC, CBS. Where is the corporate media, and why aren't they down in Puerto Rico filming this? And I have to say, having worked in the corporate media for many years, you have to wonder, maybe is it because they're also impacted by Republican donors and the corporate community, and they want to keep it hush-hush as well. But something is just not right here when two territories with American citizens are destroyed, and we can't figure out a way to rebuild street schools, hospitals, healthcare clinics, and get their businesses running and get electricity. It doesn't add up, Harvey.
No, it doesn't. I'm looking at a timeline here, Joel Siegel, and it's really astounding. On September 6th, Wednesday, September 6th, the eye of Hurricane Irma, which was a Category 5 storm, which is as big as it gets, sort of north of San Juan, Puerto Rico experienced a deluge, an 100-mile-an-hour gust. It avoided the worst of the storm's effects, but Irma killed four people on September 6th in Puerto Rico, and it cut off power to about two-thirds of Puerto Rico's customers. A third of the population lost access to clean water on September 6th during Hurricane Irma, for God's sakes. Two weeks later, as Hurricane Maria, also a Category 5, hurricane, 60,000 to 80,000 people in Puerto Rico still didn't have power in the wake of Hurricane Irma. And then in between Irma and Maria is about 2 weeks. And then on September 20th in the morning, Maria hits Puerto Rico. So you already have 60,000 to 80,000 people in Puerto Rico without power. That's a lot of people without power for 2 weeks, for God's sake, after Irma, when Maria hit. And now Maria, just was, as you say, I think Katrina was also Category 5, but it just completely devastates the island. Now, there were National Guard people that had to call it up, but, you know, even as the, before the hurricane hit immediately in the lead up to the landfall, which is on September 20th, they already have problems. Which Trump on Thursday, September 21st, Trump says their electrical grid is destroyed. It wasn't in good shape to start with, but it's totally destroyed and so many other things. Huge of a state of emergency, but as you know, he did not lift the Jones Act. And do you want, you're more familiar than I. Do you want to, I mean, this is just staggering. Do you want to describe the Jones Act and what it has meant to Puerto Rico, and the fact that in, even in the middle of this hurricane and in the wake of this horrible catastrophe, they didn't lift the Jones Act? You want to talk about that, Joel Siegel?
Sure. The Jones Act basically says that the Puerto Rico can only buy their goods from the United States, and that ships from other countries are not allowed in to, you know, sell their goods. And they lifted it for, I think, like 15 or 20 days, and then they, you know, then they went ahead and reinstituted it. And, you know, the thinking behind the Jones Act is buy American, right? You know, it'll help our economy. But what it's done, it's literally strangled 85% of their economy. And, you know, it's amazing how the Republicans always talk about the free market and capitalism, but they're the first to make sure that there is no free market. And so the other problem also is food stamps. They changed the laws in Puerto Rico, so they get probably half of the food stamps that we get here. So they can't even, you know, buy enough food with food stamps because, you know, we've cut it to the bone. And the Jones Act is just, you know, one of many laws and regulations that strangles Puerto Rico's economy. And, you know, the question I would ask is, if we spend $780 billion or probably a little bit more on military, why can't we just do a full-scale mobilization of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Army Corps of Engineers, FEMA? I'm talking as many as you can to the Virgin Islands and to Puerto Rico now, because that's what they know how to do. That's where they're best trained. And that's what the Puerto Ricans are asking. Where is all the FEMA employees? Now, they do have a command center. You know, there are some troops on the ground, but instead of having troops sitting there in Japan and Germany, you know, like drinking beer and whatever, playing cards, why don't they just send them, you know, to Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands? Well, they're not doing it. So I mean, we're just going to have to go to the international community. I mean, we have to go to NATO. We're going to have to go to, you know, Ban Ki-moon, and we're going to have to go to other countries and have them send their armies. You know, Germany has an army. NATO has an army. But we can't, with this administration, nothing's going to change. I got to work with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. I can tell you, having worked with, I worked with how many presidents? Three presidents. If Obama was president or Clinton, they would have already been rebuilding both territories, and we would not be experiencing this. This is about incompetence. This is an incompetent president who has incompetent staff all around him who don't know what they're doing. And
or
FEMA
don't care, or they don't
is a
care.
Good example of that.
Well, here's the quote. Joel Siegel, I want to read you this quote. This is from Monday, September 25th, five days after Hurricane Maria completely devastated Puerto Rico. This is from Donald Trump, allegedly the president of the United States. Are you ready for this? Texas and Florida are doing great. We love that. But Puerto Rico, which is already suffering from broken infrastructure and massive debt, is in deep trouble. It's an old electrical grid, which was in terrible shape, was devastating. Much of the island was destroyed, and here we go. Here's the key sentence. With billions of dollars owed to Wall Street and the banks, which sadly, must be dealt with. I mean, are you kidding me? This is the president of the United States. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I read the quote, and Trump was talking to a reporter and basically was saying that, you know, they got to pay off, you know, I think he was talking to Schumer, but he was saying they got to pay your guys off Wall Street first because they're in debt before, you know, we pay them back, but before we help them. And the other thing is the bills that are being passed in Congress, they're not, it's not like Marshall Plan subsidies that we, you know, that grants that we gave to Germany or to the Japanese. These are loans. So if you're already in debt, $70 billion, what do you want them to be, like $200 billion in debt? So this is the highest level of cruelty, I'd say, I mean, that I've ever seen in my lifetime. I'm not old enough to remember slavery, right? Or you know, when women couldn't vote, or there were, you know, white only water fountains. But in terms of sheer cruelty, I have never seen this level of cruelty in my life. And there's, you know, the fact of the matter is people are dying. So in the hospitals where they need generators and diesel fuel, there are people dying right now because they don't got diesel fuel, and that's why they're literally, I mean, Puerto Rico could be abandoned ship, right? And they're being, you know, whether it's cruise ships or airplanes, they're going to go to New York, and they're going to go, you know, to other states, and there will be no Puerto Rico. That's what the governor is saying, and this governor, by the way, is a very smart guy. He went to MIT. He was, I believe, I know he was an engineer. He's a young guy. And every time, I can just tell you that I have reliable information from the highest sources, okay, is that he was basically, you know, threatened by Trump to keep his mouth shut. And if he said anything bad against Trump in our response, that they would really cut off, you know, even more aid or withdraw the FEMA workers. And let's remember what Donald Trump said. He said, you know, we don't want our FEMA workers to be there that long in our military. You know, so this is a very, very, very cruel president. You know, the same guy that wanted to throw off $23 million from health care. And by the way, you know, the Republicans, as a rider to their bill to give a $1.5 trillion tax break, did you know they just slipped in that they want to knock off right around, I don't know, 13 million people off the Affordable Care Act? Did you know about that, Harvey?
Yes, I do. And it's, you know, and the Trump budget has passed in the House of Representatives, and now it's gone to the Senate, and we'll see what happens. I want to read you a quote from Donald Trump on Saturday, September 30th, 10 days after landfall. I'm looking, by the way, at an Atlantic Monthly timeline of Hurricane Maria's effects on Puerto Rico. This is the president of the United States. Now, he's gotten into a tiff with the Latina mayor of San Juan, who is as best I can tell, quite an amazing woman. And here's Donald Trump talking about her. The mayor of San Juan, who was very complimentary only a few days ago, has now been told by the Democrats that you must be nasty to Trump. This is Trump. Such poor leadership ability by the mayor of San Juan. This is in the middle of a humanitarian crisis. People are dying. The island is devastated. There's no federal troops. There's no federal aid. And this is Donald Trump, the president of the United States, going, who has not been to Puerto Rico yet, 10 days after the disaster. Quote, such poor leadership ability by the mayor of San Juan and others in Puerto Rico who are not able to get their workers to help. They want everything to be done for them when it should be a community effort. 10,000 federal workers now on the island. I mean, you've got to be, where did, is this guy from outer space?
It's a racist narrative. It's the same narrative. That wasn't dog whistle, right? That was a foghorn. Brown and black people don't really work that hard, and they're not, you know, they need to work harder than they already are. And, you know, is this dude, like, bipolar, or is he suffering from depression? Is it, you know, is it delusions of grandeur? Who the hell knows? But whatever it is, you know, when the history books are written,
well, I'm writing
Donald
it right
Trump is going to go down as one of the cruelest presidents and incompetent presidents that we've ever had in the history, of this country.
He's in a class by himself. He's a third world dictator. Donald Trump is the vulture come home roost. He is the karma of the American empire that has gone around the world and placed horrible dictators in power, like Pinochet and Somoza and Suharto and Marcos and Mobutu. All these horrible thugs that the United States has placed in power in our colonial
Putin, believe it or not, is very intelligent, but he really admires Putin, and Putin is a strong man who, you know, kills people who he considers to be, you know, opposition. But I think that you're absolutely correct in terms of, you know, the way you have described him. And this is the same man, you know, that said that our first African American president was not a citizen, right? And
right.
We have an electoral college, which of course needs to be abolished. We're going to keep getting, you know, bozos like Donald Trump. And I'll be honest with you, I have contacts deep within the Trump administration, and if I want to, you know, I could get some people to try to, you know, talk to Trump, or and I have contacts, unfortunately, you know, if I wanted to, with people on the far right, but I don't know if I'd, you know, want to go to them. But we are going to need some kind of a well-funded NGO, a progressive organization that is smart, that knows Congress, that knows the United Nations. They got to be well-funded, and they're going to have to do what Randall Robinson did with Trans Africa, what Jesse Jackson did with the Rainbow Coalition, or what you did, Harvey, with the No Nukes concert and the No Nukes movement. And they're just going to have to, the people are going to have to take control of the situation and turn this around, because in my experience as an activist, didn't matter if it was AIDS, universal health care, you know, I could go on with issues that I've worked on. You just have to unite the people. And the Puerto Rican diaspora that I've been working with, they're phenomenal. And the Puerto Ricans on the ground, they're phenomenal. And the mayor of Puerto Rico, she's phenomenal. She wants to solarize all of Puerto Rico. The majority of Puerto Ricans want to solarize Puerto Rico. So we need to get an NGO created, get it funded, and solarize San Juan. And my suggestion on our last coalition call was to have the mayor of San Juan bring together all of the mayors and the NGOs and have them come up with their own plan. Then we go to the United Nations and get that plan, to work the plan and make it a reality. So if it's X amount of schools that got to be rebuilt, X amount of houses, X amount of tarps, X amount of generators for electricity, X amount of solar technology, they come up with their own plan, supported by Puerto Rican NGOs and people in the diaspora, and then just go ahead and you know, demand that both the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico be rebuilt. Remember, Puerto Rico, they've only got 30% of their electricity, and people aren't talking about the Virgin Islands, but the Virgin Islands are in just as bad a shape of Puerto Rico. It's a mythology that the Virgin Islands is being rebuilt. No. And guess what? Isn't it very interesting that the majority of people in Virgin Islands are of color? So is that a coincidence that the two territories that are majority of color are getting treated the worst? I don't think it's a coincidence.
Well, here we go. Here, let's read another quote from Der Fuhrer here. On Monday, Sunday, October 1st. Now, this is a month ago. This is
right.
Six weeks ago. Trump says, quote, "We have done a great job with the almost impossible situation in Puerto Rico. outside of the fake news or politically motivated ingrates, people are now starting to recognize the amazing work that has been done by FEMA and our great military. And Joel, you are in constant touch with people in Puerto Rico. How does the situation today in Puerto Rico compare with a month ago, 6 weeks ago? All right, we lost Joel Siegel. I assume he's going to call back. I mean, to me, it's astounding. As best I can tell from talking with Joel and other people in Puerto Rico who are involved with the Puerto Rican situation. Okay, Joel.
I'm back.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There was a dog barking. There's been very little improvement. The only improvement is there is more electricity. Okay, instead of it being 30%, it's at 50%. But in six weeks, it really hasn't changed because now the plan is to evacuate. Okay, so if it gotten better, then the plan would be to stay there. But they have three thousand people in shelters, and they're in public schools, right? And they want to go to hotels, but they can't go back to their hotels because they've been destroyed. Many of them want to return to their houses, but to go back to their houses, they have to show a deed or an electric bill, and a lot of people in Puerto Rico inherited their houses. So they can't go back to their houses because they can't have proof that they own the houses. So there's these, like, it's roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. So the question I would ask is, where are the FEMA workers? Why aren't there more U.S. troops? Why aren't there more Army Corps of Engineers? Where is our U.S. government? Why aren't they helping our American citizens? Where are the troops? Where are the bulldozers? Where's the diesel fuel? Where's the water? They still don't have enough water, clean drinking water. They still don't have enough food. Without electricity, it is very hard to cook food, but they could solarize pretty quickly, actually, through what they're called microgrids.
Man, here's Donald Trump on October 3rd, Tuesday, October 3rd. What's today? November something. So this is 5-6 weeks ago. I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack. That's fine. We saved a lot of lives. That's Donald Trump 5-6 weeks ago. Oh, my God, we're done. Joel Siegel, so much to say, more to say. You're fantastic, Joel. We're going to have to continue this. We
thank
love you, Puerto
man.
Rico.
Thank
God
you
help it all.
Alive.
Thank you, man. Talk to you soon. Thank you, crew in New York. We appreciate it.
Don't you know we're going to have a solar-topia, solar-topia, solar-topia.